Closer, aren't we? You ever feel intimidated by the world? Or have you ever been criticized by the world? The answer is yes. We've all been intimidated by the world or criticized because of our faith. I realized that when I was working a secular job for FedEx, I realized that there was a lot of animosity and there was a lot of people that would try to criticize, calling names, you know, the Holy Joe, and you think you're better than everybody else. And am I right? I mean, I'm telling you that there is an intimidation factor in the world. It happens in the political arena, and that's going to be going on. It happens in the public arena. It's in the Antichrist society. It's among, when you hear like things like they're going to let men in the women's bathroom and the women in the men's bathroom, which is totally beyond common sense. Just totally beyond. But that's what happens when sin enters into the world and it's dominating the society. And now there is this sodomite agenda that is on board, and it is totally intimidating, trying to intimidate God's people, trying to intimidate the churches, trying to intimidate common sense. And so the question is, well, preacher, what do we do about it? I'm glad you asked. Stand and turn with me to Psalm 119. And we're going to deal with this in this passage of Scripture tonight in Psalm 119. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the sixth division. It would start with the word V, 8 verses in each one of these sections, each section corresponding, of course, with a Hebrew letter. And I'm not here tonight to teach you Hebrew. I'm just fine preaching from the English because I have a Bible tonight that is a good translation of the Hebrew. But if we were to look at the Hebrew, every one of these verses would start with the letter that corresponds with that section tonight. And I would just say this as a way of introduction. There, you know, the letter V in our language, probably there is less words that start with the letter V than any other of the letters. I think I'm right on that. But even though that may be true in the Hebrew also, the psalmist was able to take this letter and begin with each one of the verses, and it really talks about intimidation or criticism upon us as God's people and how to handle it. So, read quietly. I'll read aloud beginning in verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. See that? That intimidation or that criticism spirit. Lord, I want to thank you for salvation. It was according to your word. If we're saved here tonight, it's not according to what we've done, but it's according to what God has done for us. And then, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And I'll say this, you won't walk in liberty and you won't have freedom like God would want you to have freedom unless you walk in his ways and are obedient to his commands. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a lot of meat hanging out in those verses I just read. So we're going to get as much as we possibly can, and if we get finished, praise God. And if we don't, then we'll come back and eat some more meat later on. Amen? Father, you're very good. You're very gracious. And Lord, we don't deserve your salvation. But we also recognize that because of our salvation, we could read about what the Apostle Paul spoke about, that this is really in this world, the things that come against us and the intimidation of the world and the critics that will come against the Word of God and God's people and the things of God, Lord, it's really a light affliction. Really a light affliction in the light of eternity. I also think about the Apostle Paul tonight and the culture in which he lived and the animosity and the criticism and the intimidation that came against him in the religious world and also in the political world of Rome. And Lord, I'd have to agree tonight that we still have freedoms in this country to stand and preach and declare the Word of God and be a witness even in a dark society that seems so far away from you. And I pray tonight that your people would be encouraged from the Word of God and the world would not intimidate us and that we would not allow the criticism of the world to keep us from serving you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. I pray for power and unction of the Holy Ghost as I preach this message, that it would be done in the right spirit, but it would be done in the power and demonstration of God. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm trying to move away from the introduction of what we've already looked at. But again, tonight, we're in the sixth division. It's represented by the Hebrew letter V. And this section of Psalms is very helpful when it comes to the area of answering our critics or answering that intimidation factor that tries to come against us. Now, a lot of times, we might call intimidation, we might call it man fear. Young people, teenagers especially, I'm afraid, are susceptible to their peers and are always concerned about what somebody else thinks or what they're going to say. And I said this, and I'll say it again tonight as a way of continuing the introduction. I want to praise God that at some point in my ministry, I decided to just go ahead and divorce myself from public opinion. Now, I am not trying to be ugly tonight. I really am not. But I'm telling you that a man of God and a people of God will never get anything done for God if all they're doing is sitting around and worrying about what everybody else thinks. Or they're intimidated by the culture. Or they're afraid by their preaching what it's going to bring upon them. Just go ahead and don't have a bad spirit. I've said this for a long time. It is possible to be an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial, devil-hating, King James only. Let me say that again. King James only. I'm not going to apologize for that. A non-charismatic. I'm not going to apologize for that. Non-Calvinistic. I'm not going to apologize for that. Independent Baptist. But I'm not mad about it. And I don't want to have a bad spirit about it. I want to have the right spirit. But at the same time, I do not want to be intimidated by the world. I think one of my ministry rules is fear no man, only fear Robin. So I think that's actually written down on one of my ministry rules. Another one I have is happy wife, happy life. And so those two speak for themselves, and you don't really have to give any kind of explanation, if you would. But the truth is, people are intimidated, and people will try to intimidate you. They'll try to intimidate you, Butch, in Australia, because you're a Baptist, and you preach the gospel, and you're going to have that intimidation factor of that culture that's going to come against us. And I believe tonight everyone has at some point faced someone in their life that intimidated them, or they felt uncomfortable, whatever it might be, but I will tell you tonight that we can even be intimidated by talking to people or witnessing to people. The Holy Spirit of God can actually say, "You need to talk to this person. This is an opportunity," and we can buck up against that, and we actually call that man fear. Now, some people are intimidated and they don't even know it. They use it as an excuse that they're timid or I don't speak to people or whatever that. Now, let me also say this. Life is full of bullies and critics that endeavor to threaten and pressure and control and scare people into their demands. I believe the agnostics and the atheists do that. They try to come against God's people and say a bunch of things that are anti-God, and they're trying to intimidate us. I'm telling you, we when it comes to God and salvation, we should not be intimidated. We should be able to give a reason of the hope that is within us and to speak. I'm telling you, it's happened to me several times. And then it's like they get mad. And I'm trying not to get mad, but at the same time, I want to be able to give a testimony for the Lord. And I want to make sure they understand that there is a different view than the world view. There is the Bible view. And if you go to a public school and try to stand up just for the Bible, they're going to intimidate you. They're going to intimidate you in the area of trying to go against creation, evolution. It's so wrong and wicked, I can't even think what you call it anymore. But they will try to do that. Or they will try to threaten and control you in such a way that you will cower down and you will not be the witness that you are supposed to be. So, how do we do that? Well, I believe that we find in these verses some things that we can do because of our faith in Christ and because of our salvation that we can not be intimidated, if you would, by the world. And then some people say, well, preacher, you're the preacher, you're the pastor, it's easy for you. No, it's not. It's not any more easier to stand before my peers than it is for you to stand before your peers. And I don't like to be placed in a situation of hostility. I've been there, and you've got two or three coming at you at once. But I want to say, Lord, give me the words to say, and let me hold my head up high and with humility, not to be intimidated by their wickedness. So first thing, let me tell you, is found in verse number 41. Now, we've been going through these verse by verse, and that's what I was hoping maybe to get through all of these tonight. But the first thing is you've got to kind of hang on, and that is this. How is it that you're going to be unintimidated by the world if first you don't have the foundation? And the foundation is salvation. You have got to know that you're saved. That's why in verse number 41, here's what it says. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Do you know what the greatest of all intimidations is? Now think about it. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the greatest enemy of man is not man. The greatest enemy of man is death. People, we are intimidated by the fact that we're going to die. And you understand we're all going to die. We just don't know when that is going to be. Parentheses, the coming of the Lord is the only exception to that. Outside of that, our greatest enemy is death. So I would say to you that I believe probably the greatest intimidation that man faces is death. However, we can have confidence in the face of death if we're saved. That's why the Bible says, in Psalm 23, we only have to go through the shadow of the valley of death and not experience what a lost man without Christ would have to experience. It doesn't mean that it doesn't intimidate us because we still have to go through that shadow, that valley. But I'm telling you today that salvation is not ours, it is the Lord's. Now, what I mean by that is man can't decide how to be saved. He's got to be saved God's way. And he has to be according to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And it has to be a sorrow for sin and a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. And praise God, it is a free gift of God. And man, there's so many verses and promises of the love of God and the salvation of God in the Bible. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, we're here on a Wednesday night. Can't you just move on to the second verse? No! Because I don't know who's not saved. And I find out that you never know who's sitting in the audience and is dealing with conviction and the matter of they're not saved and they've been trying to convince themselves they are saved. And I would never want to intimidate anybody out of their salvation. But my friend, I would pray the Holy Ghost would intimidate you if you're not saved. And that's a good intimidation. Because the intimidation of death is greater than that without Christ. That's why we can read in Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, meaning that Jesus Christ could pay the penalty, and God was satisfied with that payment, and that if we'll accept that payment and that gift, we can be saved. You know what? There is a void in every person's heart that doesn't have Christ. There is a void that they cannot fill, and they cannot figure out what is wrong, and they're trying to take the things of the world to fill in that heart, whether it's their job or their education or their whatever. But it can't fill the void. And you can get victory over death, the hell and the grave, but only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand God's love and mercy is awesome. And I'm glad I found it. And you know what happens? The love of God equips us to face the hatred of man. You hear of somebody, I mean, sometimes when I hear certain people on TV, it just makes me want to hit the mute button. Because I just can't take to hear their voice. And if you want to know all of them who they are, you can ask me later on, because there's lots of them. But you know what I have to realize? God died for them just like He died for me. God loves them like He loves me. And the first step in facing any kind of intimidating circumstances, it actually begins with God. I need Him to walk with me. I need Him to talk with me. I need to understand that He is my foundation and that He enables me to put my foot on solid ground. And I want to praise God tonight, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I know I have eternal life. And so knowing that, we can face any intimidating factor that comes our way. And we can face any criticism that comes our way. And believe me, there's going to be plenty of the criticism. So the question becomes then, as we move to the next verse, how is it that we respond to those that reproach us? Or how do we respond to those who want to intimidate us? How do we respond to those who want to criticize us? Well, it's found in verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I will trust in thy word. All right? So the bottom line is, the psalmist states that God's tender mercy, God's salvation, is going to enable me to answer those who reproach me with a Bible answer or with the Word of God. Now, folks, here's what we need to understand and very practically learn in our own Christian life. I have an opinion on everything. There is nothing in this world that I don't have an opinion on. And if you want to know what my opinion is, ask me, and I'll tell you, but I'm not going to do it from the pulpit. Because from the pulpit, what I need to be doing is doing what Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And here's what, when it comes to a intimidation factor or a criticism factor, somebody coming against you or the Word of God, here's what they need. They don't need your opinion. They need a Bible answer. And here's all you have to do is just like this. Well, here's what the Bible says. And that's what I do. And I try to do that because when somebody starts about trying to intimidate my faith or somebody tries to intimidate my Christianity or somebody tries to intimidate my Bible-believing Baptist beliefs, and they are the Baptist beliefs or Bible beliefs, here's what I say. Well, here's what the Bible says. And then I will tell them what the Bible says as best as I know, and that's why you need to be a studier of the Word of God. That's why you need to be, I think I wrote it down. You need to understand that you need to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. You need to be study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because when somebody tries to intimidate you or to criticize you, you need to be able to say, this is what the Bible says. Now, this happened. This will happen all the time if you allow it to happen and won't be intimidated. And somebody will say, well, you know, such and such. And I just like to say, well, here's what the Bible says about that. And then I'll tell them what the Bible says. And then if they say, well, where does that say that? You've got to be able to go, well, let me show you. It's in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And here's what it says about that. And then what happens is they'll say something else, and you say, well, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Now, after about three or four Bible answers, they'll go, well, can't you speak for yourself? And I'll say, no, I'm going to speak what the Bible says. Because the Bible says the Word of God will not return back void, but will accomplish its purpose. My opinions are not going to necessarily help the situation, but giving them a Bible answer will. Now you say, well, they won't listen. Well, the Bible tells us that too in 2 Timothy, that it is our job to make sure that we even help those who oppose themselves. Now, somebody who rejects Christ as their Savior for salvation, and you tell them this is what the Bible says about salvation, or you're able to give somebody your testimony, or whatever it is, and they try to come back and intimidate, and you say, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Word of God says, not everybody's going to believe, but God's Word is a whole lot better into the heart of a person than anything else. Now, how do I know that? Because that's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. Because somebody preached the Bible, somebody told you the truth, somebody kept hammering that truth or preaching that truth until it broke through your crusty, rock-hard heart, and God got in there and did a work, and that hadn't changed. That hadn't changed. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You may have an opinion on the political climate today and everything that's going on, but what people really need is Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they really need. And we need to understand that the psalmist is telling us that tender mercies and salvation will enable us to answer those who even reproach us. And many times the people that need to be witnessed to are those who scorn us the most. And our attitude becomes very human, and we're like, well, go to hell then. And if we're not careful, that'll be our attitude. And that should not be our attitude. God gives us salvation so that we can sing a song in our heart, that we can be emboldened to speak to those who would reproach us, especially in matters about the Word of God and what it says. I am never going to get tired of saying, well, here's what the Bible says about creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah, but there's no scientific proof. I don't need any scientific proof. I'm telling you, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. Well, how did He create man? Well, He took the dust out of the ground and He breathed in it the breath of life and He became a living soul. You want to know how woman was made? He took a rib out of man, put him to sleep, and made a woman. Well, that's crazy. Well, No. It makes a whole lot more sense than saying that the earth, that everything blew up and then everything is in the, just came down. And that's like saying that I can squash a watch, I can beat it in half, I can throw it up in the air, and it's going to come down and be a watch. Yeah, right. Yeah. The Big Bang Theory? Yeah, there's going to be a Big Bang. But it ain't going to be no theory. When you think about your salvation and what God has done for you, I'm going to tell you right now, you shouldn't be intimidated by the world that's going to hell. Because that's where they're going. God's tender mercy keeps us from getting what we deserve. And God's Word still has the answers. And that's why, folks, listen to me. We need to be in discipleship class. We need to know what the Bible says about different areas of our life. And I'm just going to say this is what the Bible says. Not having an answer for a problem can be intimidating. That's why you need to be in church, Sunday school, discipleship class. Because the Lord can give you boldness and confidence and security in His Word. Do you understand tonight? Listen to me. You've been saved 30, 35 years. You should have most of the Bible answers. You should be instructing others, not being instructed per se. Why? Well, then why should we come to church? Because we still get fellowship. We still get encouragement. And we still might learn something. Can I tell you, I'm going to give you a time out here. My wife and I, she knows what I'm getting ready to say. We went and checked on the boosters, and I was just going to check on them. And about an hour and a half later, after I'd seen his garden, which is, by the way, that's a man of God garden. 91 years old, nice garden. Anyhow, he said, I want to thank you for such and such message. I learned something. And I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah, I taught Brother Booster something. That's funny. He goes, no, I'm serious. He goes, I've been preaching for such and such, and I never heard it like that, and you studied that, and you preached that, and I learned something. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't get to. But here's what's the point. If Brother Booster can learn something, then I can learn something. Somebody say amen to that. And I reckon you can too. That's why we come to church. We need the Bible answers to have that confidence and security. And when we put the Word of God into practice and rely on the Lord, we will be able to confront with confidence those who want to criticize us or intimidate us. They'll get frustrated. They'll get frustrated and they'll become intimidated, not by necessarily you, but they'll be intimidated by the Word of God. Now, let me give you some good... And by the way, when that happens, God will remove the fear of intimidation. Look at Psalm 1. Well, no, you don't have to look there. I'll give you these verses. If you want to write them down, I'm going to try to move along. Psalm 118, verse 6 says this. The Lord is on my side. Amen. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Thank you, Lord. How about Psalm 27, verse 1 through 3? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Robin. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Amen. Now you think about David and all the things he went through. He wrote a lot of these Psalms. And he wrote them in his very hour of need, and his confidence was in the Lord. How about Psalm 46:1? God is our refuge and strength. Listen to this. A very present help in trouble. Psalm 56:4. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, here's what we're trying to get across tonight, and that is this. Salvation brings assurance, confidence, and when we have a word from God, not a word comes out of the sky, a word from God on any subject, we can be confident and we can be assured and we can say, this is what the Bible says. All right, so here's what we do. The formula to not be intimidated is to rely upon the Word of God. Look at verse 43. That brings us to the third verse. We've got to rely on God's Word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Do you know one of the goals of somebody that wants to intimidate you or criticize you is to make you lose your hope, and they want you to resist. And a lot of God's people, as soon as the attack comes, they just shut down. And they're like, well, I'm not going to say nothing. Or you might be in a crowd of a bunch of godless people, and you think, oh, if I stand up, man, I'm going to get blasted. That's what they want. That's what, you know, and I'm going to get put this in the physical if I could, because my dad taught me this. If you got two or three guys that are against you, what you want to make sure you do is you want to bust the one in the mouth who's making the most noise. Because here's what he would say. You throw a rock and it hits a dog, it's going to yelp. But he said if the dog is barking, kick him in the face. The other two dogs will run. What are you saying? I'm not telling anybody to get in a fight. It's in the flesh, man. But I am saying this. Don't be intimidated by the world's philosophy. We're being intimidated today by the Sodomites, the Muslims. I mean, the queer, whatever. I mean, we're being intimidated. It's like we can't say nothing. They'll put us in jail. They're going to put us in jail eventually, probably. But we need to be willing to speak the truth in love. All right? And so what I'm telling you, the Word of God was important to this writer here, and it gave him hope. And we need to understand that we need to wait on the Lord. I could go to Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. In His Word do I hope. Now, here's another thing. You can be saved. You can know what the Bible says. All right? You can know what the Bible says. You can have your foundation and reliance upon the truth of God's Word, but there's a very key component here that must be spoken about, and that is this. You have to be obedient to it. There's nothing worse than a Christian who is disobedient to the Word of God than tries to be a testimony. All right, look at the next verse. So verse 44 says, "So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and forever." Here's what you have to understand. Here's the whole point. You need to obey the Word of God even in the face of intimidation. Now, I can think of a lot of practical ways that this could take place. Like, for instance, a family comes over and says, "Well, you're not going to go to church tonight, are you? I mean, your family's here. I mean, you know, we came all the way from California to see you. Well, if you want to see me, you'll have to go to church with me." Well, preacher, I just think you're out of bounds. I just think you're intimidated by family. That's what I think. Especially if it's the Lord's Day. Butch had a good example of that. Can I tell that? All right, good, I will. He got that from his family before he got married. And he was thinking, if she lets her family intimidate her to not go to church, I may not be able to marry her. I thought that's pretty bold. Especially if you've already bought the dress. And she said to her family, "I'm going to church because it's the right thing to do." You can go with us if you want. I'm telling you, the world will do anything they can to intimidate you. But you have to resolve yourself to obey the Word of God even in the face of intimidation. Man, the pressure from the pessimistic peers is great. But listen to me, it shouldn't be greater than the passion that we have for Jesus Christ. And people who have given their lives to God and love Him dearly are more concerned about God's opinion than they are man's opinion. And the priority of pleasing God and doing His will should override the intimidating factor of those who would try to drag you down to their level. Somebody say amen. Look at verse 45. Let's move on. "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Now, the aim of people who intimidate or criticize is to control and to manipulate people against their own will. And they try to silence us. Boy, that's why I like the Baptist History Conference. They didn't silence them preachers in Virginia, did they? They threw them in jail, and what did they do? They preached right through the jail. And people would come. And the government and the religion would try to intimidate those people, and they continued on preaching the Word of God. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now the Lord is that Spirit, 2 Corinthians says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing more liberating than the Word of God. And obeying the Word of God and doing the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Truth breeds confidence, security, and courage in the face of deception, intimidation, and criticism. Well, preacher, I guess you've just been criticized a lot. Yeah, I have. I guess people have come against you a lot. Yep. And I have resolved to divorce myself from public opinion. You may be facing intimidation right now in your life tonight. It could be on the job. It could be in the family. You may be very hesitant to share the gospel with others or be a witness. But you better realize tonight God has an answer for the attack that are hurled against you. And we need to be refuse to be ashamed. Well, where do you find that? Verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. One of those is if you go to Israel, you'll be able to stand in the very spot, I mean the very spot that the Apostle Paul stood in the arena and spoke to Agrippa and Felix. Not very far there in Caesarea, they have found the place where Paul was kept in prison, and they would bring him out of this prison, and it's not that far, and they would bring him to this arena, and they would bring him this place, and there's where they would sit and meet, and that's where Paul would speak, and that's where Agrippa would say, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Felix said, "Thou art mad." And you know what Paul said? "No, I'm not mad. I have the confidence and the assurance of my salvation in Jesus Christ, and he would say to Agrippa, that you would not be able to say almost, but you would be able to say altogether.
Amen.
And that you'd get saved. You know why? Because he was not intimidated by kings.
Right.
He was not intimidated by the Sanhedrin. He was not intimidated by the Jews who laid in wait against him. He was not intimidated. In fact, he said in the book of Romans that he would pray that himself could be accursed if his people, the Jews, Israel, would get saved. Now that's a burden. And so when they came against him and they beat him, he was not intimidated. He just kept preaching the truth. He was fearless. He was fearless. And even those in positions of authority, listen, they can be very intimidating. Now here's another thing my dad taught me. I'm very glad for some of my dad's wisdom when it came to people in positions of authority. People of political authority. You know what my dad would say? "Well, boy, he puts his britches on one leg at a time just like you did."
Amen.
Now that helped me. That kind of taught me some horse sense. You know what he was saying? He's a man just like you are. He's going to answer to God just like you do. And the encouragement from the Lord enabled the psalmist to not be intimidated by the power or the prestige of the king, and he refused to be ashamed or disappointed about about the Lord and about His Word. And I'm telling you, my friend, in this day and age, if we get an opportunity to say something or speak the truth to somebody in authority, we need to do that. And we need to put into practice the truths of the Scripture in the government. Think about it. They're taking the Scriptures off of everything. But I will tell you that our president, George Washington, put it this way. I will quote George Washington, who said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." That's George Washington. And so, it's very possible tonight that you would be facing an intimidation factor from a boss, a relative, somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And you need to ask God to give you the wisdom and the boldness to do what is right and do it with the right attitude. But you don't have any reason to be ashamed or disappointed because you're a Christian and you live a godly life.
That's right.
I've heard people say, well, you just go too far. Listen, I'd rather go too far for Christ than not go far enough for Him. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 18 through 20, they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, you know those two brothers, don't you? He was the one that denied the Lord last Sunday. Remember that? But now in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That was what Brother John and Brother Peter said. So you know what we need to do? Is we need to go to verse number 47. Here's what we need to do. Have respect for the Word of God. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. I love the Bible. You should love the Bible. I remember back in the day, there was a... Now listen, kids, I want you to hear me. You two guys, you're on the front row. There was a day that there was no such thing as email. Did you know that, Manny? You think it was like a way long time ago. Did you know the first bag phone was like 1992? The smartphone didn't even come in until 2007. Well, me and Miss Robin, we met in 1980. They didn't have no email. They didn't have no internet. You couldn't text. Couldn't do Facebook, Twitter. You know what you had to do, Manny? You know what you had to do? You had to write a letter. You had to put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it and pray that the government would get it to the one you love. That's a lot of pressure right there. But when I was separated from Robin in those days, I would get off from work from the Air Force because I had to go to San Antonio before she did, and we got married so that we can make sure that we were together. And then I went to San Antonio and I got everything set up. And she had to stay back and finish her school for about 2 months, I believe it was. I believe that's right. But every day after I got off work, first thing I'd do is run to the mailbox to see if there was a letter in there from Robin. And the first thing I'd do is I'd go, oh, yeah. I'd crack that baby open, and there was a love letter. And I'd read it 3, 4, 5, 6 times. We could only talk on the phone like once a week. But every day you could get a... You know why? I delighted myself in those letters. You know what? Because it was a love letter. Now, let me give you a story. Harry Truman was in the White House. And his wife came in. I think her name was Bess, if I think that's correct. And he was down on his knees in front of the fireplace at the White House. And he had this big box, and he was throwing letters that they used to correspond, and he was throwing them in the fire. And she said, Harry, think of history. He said, I am, and he kept throwing them. So I'm telling you right now, one time I found all them love letters, I burnt them suckers to the ground. And you say, well, think of your kids. I am, I am, I am. Think of your church. I am, I am, I am. Think of your ministry. I am. Get rid of those things. But you know what? Just like I couldn't wait to get to the mailbox and get those letters from Robin, our attitude should be, I can't wait to get up to read God's love letter to me today. Because you need to enjoy it, and the enjoyment of God's Word is a trait of a godly Christian. The devil, the world, and the flesh will fight us from enjoying the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he doth meditate day and night. Now look at one last verse and we'll be done. Look at verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. So if you love the Bible, then you should love the commandments of the Bible. And then you should meditate in thy statutes. Now here's what happens. If we have faith in the Word of God, and we have convictions based upon the Word of God, those are actually going to be lived out in action in our everyday life. We're going to actually live it out. And we need to understand the response to the Word of God is demonstrated here by being affectionate for the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and having a character and an integrity and a capacity to actually obey the Word of God. Now, intimidation is a real thing. And the more that our society becomes anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-church, then the world is going to more try to intimidate us. It's in the news every day. The government wanting to intimidate a state because they're trying to do something that's common sense and right. That is an anti-Christ process right there. And they're going to try to intimidate. And they're going to intimidate. And I'm telling you, if governments can do that to states, then anti-society will try to do it to us. But we need to trust in God and meditate on His Word and live based and be ready and willing to give an answer to every man of the reason and the hope that lies within us. This is what the Bible says. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. I want to read one more verse to you. I want you to understand tonight the Word of God holds the answers, not just for our salvation, but also for our everyday life and our service to Him. And Psalm 25, verse 2 and 3 says, O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Boy, that's a great verse. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Father, thank You tonight for Psalm 119 and the sixth division. I pray we would be a people that would not allow this world to intimidate us and to criticize us to the point that we become ineffective. We realize intimidation will come and that criticism will come. But Lord, help us trust and have confidence in Thee and in Thy Word, and then in every situation be able to give a Bible answer for the reason of the hope that it lies within us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Again, we're going to sing Trust and Obey, 451. Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, let's sing that.